Thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
Sister Wade Dean, thank you. I'm going to pass on my singing this morning. I think it's a good thing she said. She knows me. Woo, man. Welcome to Sunday Morning Live in Dominion Church. I want to tell you, I feel like I've done been to church for 4 hours already. I tell you, we had an awesome, incredible, powerful prayer meeting this morning in Pastor Greg's office. And I want to tell you, we had some preaching, we had some teaching, we had some shouting, we had some praying. We even had some tag preaching went on this morning. And I want to tell you, that's the way it ought to be. Wow. We had Revival 101 this morning. Amen. So y'all going to have to catch up. Some of y'all going to have to catch up with us today. But I want to tell you, the best people in the whole world go to church on Sunday mornings. And we are so glad to be back at Dominion, Kathy and I. You know, it's been 3 years. I'm going to have to really watch what I say and how long I say it today, because I may not be back for another 3 years. But I want to tell you, I want to tell you, brother and sister Thurstonson, Greg and Dina Thurstonson, they are incredible pastors today. I want to tell you. And I know a little bit about pastors. I've been around them for about 29 years, almost every week of my life. And I want to tell you, I know, if very few, probably no other pastor that is so communicative and inform his people like Brother and Sister Thurstonson does. And I want to tell you, it's a privilege to be a part of this church today. Kathy and I was someplace years ago, and it was a mall or something, and I saw this spaceship, and it was an Apollo. One of the Apollos, and in case you don't know it, one of Greg's hidden secrets is he always wanted to be an astronaut. And I saw this wooden, many of you have seen it in his office, and I told Cassie, I've got to get that for Greg. I didn't know how much it cost, but I already made my mind up, I was going to buy it. And we bought it, and I said, I want to put at the bottom of that spacecraft, the sky's the limit. Wow. I want to tell you, you folks have gone, y'all been a lot of places, huh? And you've graduated from a hotel into a five and dime shop, and now you're here. I don't know where we're at here today, but I don't want to tell you, the sky's the limit. And I could use the old cliche, you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on, you ain't seen nothing yet. And so we're glad to be here today. Hey, we're going to be back tonight. I know everyone's made plans to be a part of this service tonight. I understand all the young people will be here tonight, and not so young people will be here tonight. You didn't think I was going to say old, did you? But we want you to be back tonight, and so it's going to be at 6 o'clock, and we'll see what the Lord has in store today. We are bridging a gap today concerning Pentecost, and we have been given some statistics from our headquarters that only 16% of our people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. So I just want you to know today is a special day for Dominion Church, but it's a special day for myself, because as I continue to grow older, I'm not old, but I'm getting older. I'm only going to be 53 years old in December, but I'm finding myself bridging a gap between two generations. And I want to tell you, I was so thrilled today that nobody else understands that situation than Brother and Sister Thurstonson today. And we're going to bridge the gap today. He may be on the beginning of the bridge, and I'm at the end of the bridge, okay? But we're going to bridge the gap, and I want to challenge you today, because I have not come, I told the prayer group today, that I have not come today as some type of old medicine man with a medicine bottle. I have not come today with a gimmick or a novelty. I've come to you today with a precious gift that God wants to give to every believer. That if you've accepted the first gift of life through God's Son, Jesus Christ, I got good news for you today. God has another gift for you today. And we want to challenge you and to equip you and to educate you and let you know that God has some things. Probably the two words that today, two words in these both of these messages today, two words that would probably maybe sum up what I have to say today is that we need a generation that knows how to guard this gift. And then we need a generation that knows how to release this gift. And so those are the two mandates, I guess, today that I want you to keep in mind this morning, because we need to guard what God has given us, and we also need to release it. We need to release this power into your life. And I want to tell you, tonight I'm going to share with you my testimony of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want you also to know this morning that I'm not coming to you being programmed in Pentecost. My background, my religious background, my denominational background was not with the Assemblies of God. It was not in Pentecost. It was in Catholicism, probably one of the furthest denominations away from it, although there has been a great charismatic movement taking place in that church. But I want you to know this morning, I come to you having experienced this wonderful gift that God wants to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many appreciate Brother and Sister Thurston one more time today? I call Sister Dina, Dina the singing machine. Amen. And I saw two characters up here a while ago on the worship team that I'm very proud to know that some things that I said to them in youth camps, they're still in the fold. Brother Jeff and Brother Jason over here. Where are they at? Where's Jeff and Jason? There they are right there. Those are two of my assignments 20 years ago. The J&J boys are still in the fold. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. We had some times back then, but praise the Lord. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Numbers today. Numbers chapter number 14 today. It's so good to have my wife with me today. I don't get to have her with me a lot of times, and so whenever we're in the Houston area, she's with me, but sometimes she don't want to be with me, so amen. Sister Hatcher, it's good to see you back, praise God, and your family today, praise the Lord. I looked down there and kept looking down the row, and I knew three or four of them down there, so it's good to see you folks. Amen. Brother Tom, I saw Brother Tom somewhere. Me and Brother Tom, we go way back when Noah built the ark, and it looks like me and Brother Tom and I, we can at least say this, we're twice the men we used to be. Did you catch that, Brother Greg? Okay. All right, praise the Lord. We just got more to love us, I guess. I don't know. Numbers, please, with me this morning. Numbers chapter 14, beginning with verse number 21. I want to talk to you this morning about, and remember, I've said this today, that we are to guard and we are to release. But there was a prophecy that was given in 1906 from the great Azusa Street revival that took place, by the way, 100 years ago this year. And they celebrated this great event in Los Angeles the first of the year. And I understand, I don't know if Pastor Greg went or not, but I know of three other pastors that went, and they came back rejoicing, and in one particular, there was many celebrations, many services taking place periodically during the week, and in one particular meeting, there was over 300 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want to tell you, that puts wind in my sails, And so this year has been the one-year anniversary when that great event took place. But it said this, that the Azusa Street prophecy of 1906, it said this, in the last days, three things would take place in the great Pentecostal movement. Three things would take place in the great Pentecostal movement. And so I want you to know this morning, Dominion, there's no doubt in my mind today that we are in the last of the last days. And as I travel across America, I have seen these prophecies become fulfilled. And I want to talk to you about that today. Remember, we are going to guard and we're going to release this wonderful gift that God has placed inside the church. He has not placed this gift in a political party. He has not placed this gift just in a denomination. He has not placed this gift in an ecclesiastical point of view. He has placed this gift inside His church. Amen. He wants you to have this gift today. And I'll be expounding more into this tonight, how I received the Holy Ghost. Some good common sense type gospel will be preached here tonight. But so I want to talk to you about these three events, these three prophecies that are being fulfilled. But I want to go to Numbers chapter 14 today, verse number 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, let me explain to you what the Holy Ghost was saying here when he said that he had another spirit in him. In other words, Caleb's mind, his visions, his actions, his thinking, his desires, his dreams, his heart went beyond human ability. Let me remind us this morning that we are a Pentecostal church. We still believe that it is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord said. And so we have to remember that we must keep the protocol of how we can have God inside the house. And so we're not like other denominations today. We're not like other movements. We're not like other fellows. We are to be a church which is sensitive to letting the Holy Spirit move through your life, move through this pulpit, move inside this church. And so we cannot lose the protocol of how we have church. In other words, Caleb had the ability to still believe in the supernatural things of God. I want to brag on Jesus just for a moment. I want to tell you, God is still moving in the supernatural. God is still moving in the supernatural. Oh yeah, no, that's weak. That's okay. That's all right. We're gonna educate you on something here. But God is still moving in the invisible atmosphere inside the church. Why? Because God wants to give you a weapon today. He wants to give you a gift today so that you can see the things outside these walls take place in the city of Clear Lake, Texas tomorrow. Go with me, if you would, please, now to the book of Acts just for a moment. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. Beginning with verse number 17. I had Sister Wade Eaton sit on the keyboard for a while because I thought maybe I was moving into wanting to sing a song. It was like this. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here, for the book of Acts is still the same. If you're bound, oppressed, sick, or lame, you won't leave here like you came. I want to tell you, hey, God hasn't changed anything. God doesn't move. God doesn't change like the automobile business. He doesn't refashion His Word. But I want to tell you, He's looking for a vessel today that is willing to have the same power that fell in the first century that can still fall on your life in the 21st century today. But the book of Acts chapter number 2, and to save a little time, I want to go to verse 17 real quickly just for a moment. It says, in the last... And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That, now others would call it old-fashioned, but I want to say something to you today. The Holy Spirit is not outdated today. He is up to par with God's will and vision. Lift your hands with me this morning. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this message. Father, we praise you again this morning for the opportunity to be at Dominion Church so that we can come in this place and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, these people, your people, have come to your house so that we might dominate the forces of darkness tomorrow. Father, we pray today that you would have your will to be done, that you'd anoint these lips of clay, you'd anoint every vessel in this place today, God, to receive this word that's about to go forth. God, give us a visitation in this altar service. Give us a visitation, God, in this heavenly place tonight, today, God, that you might have your will to be done. Father, I pray today as the spokesman of this service today that you would place a special appetite in every soul right now. A special appetite, God, not only to be saved, but to receive and to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, have your way. Satan, I rebuke your confusions. I bind your lies in the name of Jesus. God, walk the aisles of Dominion Church today. We ask you this in the powerful, majestic name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen, so be it. It said in the last days that three things would take place in the great Pentecostal movement. These things are taking place. Here's the first one I want to talk to you about this morning. They said that the first one would be that there would be an overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. Now, something that we have to remember, something that we never can lose or forget when we come together in this room, Dominion Church. Our greatest mandate, our greatest will, our greatest objective is that we need to lead this place right with God. Am I right? That's what our goal, that's our commission today. That you leave here, first of all, being right with God. And praise God. I praise God today for the blood of Jesus that has delivered us from the penalties of sin. If you're saved today, you ought to praise the Lord for that right now. But I also praise the Lord today. I also praise the Lord today for the power of the Holy Ghost that has delivered us from the powers of sin today. You ought to thank God for that today. And thank God because of the power, the unction power of the Holy Ghost. Someday, we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. When the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then we, which are alive remain, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I praise God for that today. And so that is our objective. That is our goal today. Not just to present a gift to you. Not just to present something that can make you emotional. Not even something that can make you high, accept or receive the high that's above all highs today. But we are concerned about you today of knowing Jesus Christ, first of all, as your personal Savior. And so we have to establish that today to realize that Pentecost is not just emotionalism. And Pentecost, you're going to have a power outside these walls, and that power is to win the lost at any cost, because that's what we've been called to do. That is to win your city to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me explain this to you. We are very much, the Pentecostal movement is very much being attacked by an undercurrent. We are very much being attacked by false doctrines inside the Pentecostal church. Well, that shouldn't surprise us today. That shouldn't surprise that Satan hates the United States on 6th America. Why? Because there's no other nation on planet Earth that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ like the American church does. And so if he can destroy the foundation, if he can destroy us through false doctrines, and then we start presenting a false doctrine of salvation, and then after that, everybody thinks they're right with God. And so we got to keep in mind this morning that what he's talking about here, overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. This is what Paul said to the Romans. He said that they had become zealous, but they had no knowledge of God's righteousness. When you have preachers now in pulpits on national TV that says to America that we want you to come to our church and feel comfortable about yourself and we don't want to offend you, my friend, we are in dangerous territory when we begin to tell people that they are not needing the need of a Savior today. But I want to tell you, we're going to tell you by love today that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun today. Somebody praise God for the plan of salvation today. We throw no condemnation to nobody's life here today. We throw you life. Hallelujah. We give you a lifeline, and His name is Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you something today that you don't have to go to a place called hell. God has a place called heaven, and I'm headed to Beulah Land. Hallelujah. And so we find here that Paul was saying to the Romans that they were zealous, they were emotional about religion. But what he was saying was this, that they never came to the knowledge of knowing God in a right way. And so it's very important that we preach to you the truth, because Jesus said the truth is going to set you free. We cannot afford to permit a Nicolaitine doctrine to infiltrate inside the New Testament church in the 21st century. Well, what's the Nicolaitine doctrine? Well, here's what the Nicolaitine doctrine is. It is seeking to adjust Christianity or readjust Christianity to the level of the world. God did not call the Pentecostal church to compromise the message. He called us to stand up for truth. He called us to be a powerful force. He called us to be a powerful movement. He called us to be a powerful church for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the devil cannot stop a church that stays full of the Holy Ghost. Can somebody shout and praise the Lord with me? Now let me tell you something. Pentecost was never intended to be controversial. Oh no. It was never intended to be argued about or debated or frowned upon or rejected. No. It was never in God's intention for the church to be confused concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The devil saw the results of 120 obedient vessels on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, they didn't just become emotional, Brother Clint, but they got empowered. It was a command from Jesus Christ. I know I read the book, it says, Paul said that you're to seek the best gifts. I've heard non-Pentecostals say that. Well, the book says we're to seek the best gifts. Well, that's just a cop-out. You just don't want the Holy Ghost. That's fine with me. That's fine. But Jesus commanded us to go to the upper room. He commanded us to seek the baptizer of the book of Acts. And so there's a difference there. And I got to tell you today, our chief commander is the baptizer of the book of Acts today. And he's alive and well and walks the aisles of this church looking for a vessel to fill with his power so that you might be a 21st century church right here in Clear Lake, Texas. And so it's very easy to become confused on the foundation. In this day and age, it's very easy that there's some undercurrents that's coming inside, even inside the Pentecostal church, of confusing people what is right and what is wrong. I heard Vance Havner say this one time. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vance Havner, but Vance Havner was a Baptist evangelist. And I thought... And some of the books he wrote was, I mean, powerful stuff. I mean, some of the stuff he said, he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in fact, some of his books was, I call it, being as strong as an onion sandwich with Louisiana hot sauce. You know, he had a little Tony Sasserie on top of it, you know. And he'd say some stuff. And he wrote a book called Playing Marbles with Diamonds. Now, this generation knows nothing about marbles. I understand that. But the only marble you're going to see is going to be on an iPod or something, you know. But he was talking about playing marbles. And when we used to get on the ground and play on the ground in dirt, and you had to hit the marbles, you know. And he was talking about how playing marbles with diamonds, we've taken the precious things. I can get down. It's going back up. He was talking about the precious thing. Some of y'all look self-righteous out there. You got the same problem. Tom, I'd still be trying to get you up. But he's talking about the precious things of God. We're playing games with the precious things of God. This Holy Ghost anointing, my friend, is not some game. It's not a gimmick. It's not a novelty. It's a power to help you stay saved, and it is a power to ignite you into telling somebody about Jesus. And he wrote another book, On This Rock I Stand. But he makes a statement one time in his book. He says that if the social gospel, the Nicolaitan doctrine, would have gotten a hold of the prodigal son inside the pig pen, he said all they would have given him was a ham sandwich and never told him the truth. My job today as an evangelist is Greg and Dina, they get to love you and stay. I get to love you and leave you. So that's why I walk into churches with hand grenades. My job is to enlighten you on some things. Because you see, because pastors, they have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Because sometimes they say some things and you get mad and go down the road and window shop. Because that's what the church age has become. It's become a window shopping age. Because I'm going to get that in a few minutes. Because if you don't like what you hear here, all you got to do is walk. You can throw a rock at the next church. You see, Jesus said the truth will set you free. And so the first prophecy that I'm seeing taking place is the fact that we got an overemphasis on power, but we have a problem with being right with God after we leave the house of dominion today. The second one was this. There'd be an overemphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. Everybody say it. Ouch. Go ahead and say it. That there'd be an overemphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. Now, I want to explain that to you real quickly this morning. Praise is very important in a Pentecostal church. He says he inhabits the praise of his people. There is a reason why we praise the Lord. First of all, we praise God because he saved our soul. I'm going to praise him till Jesus comes. I'm going to be emotional about Jesus until Jesus comes. Yeah. If I can be emotional about things of this world, I'm for sure going to be emotional about eternal. Yeah. And so he inhabits the praise of his people. And it's very important that we have a breaking of fallow ground. I gave him a little Farm 101 a while ago in our prayer meeting that it's very important that we have the former rain. The rain is very important in the former rain. It's very important in the latter rain. Because, you see, you got to break fallow ground. You got to break that ground with plows. You got to break it. And then you plant the seed. But that's just as important. The rain is just as important whenever you plant the seed. Because when you plant the seed, it's got to get inside the ground. Your victory is going to come in secret places. Your power is going to come in secret places. Your anointing is going to come in secret places inside the prayer closet when it's just you and Jesus, because you're by yourself. It's just a one-on-one thing. It's a one-on-one camp meeting, in other words. It's a one-on-one revival taking place when you're by yourself with Jesus. That's where you draw your strength. And that's why Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, Brother Rod, I know what the Word says. The Word says faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. I know that. But if you want a measurement of faith, if you want to grow in faith, he says speak in tongues. Hello? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So the seeds, the rain is just as important, the former rain is just as important as the latter rain, because you can't have a harvest without the rain. Hello? You can't, let me tell you, every farmer in America is praised for rain. They gotta get some hay, they gotta get the hay, because if they don't have the hay, they can't feed the cows in the wintertime. Hello? You catch it now? And so the former rain, which sometimes you go in seasons at a church in Dominion Church, you go in seasons because sometimes you're planting the seed in people's lives. And then later on you go to another season, that's the reaping season. You understand that? Okay. And so here we find that praise is very important, but we got it backwards. We've had it backwards. Yes, it's important we praise the Lord. And there's no greater worship leader than Dina Thurstonson. I tell you what, y'all better hope I never become a billionaire. Because I'm going to hire both of them. He's going to be my crusade manager, and she'll be my worship Y'all better pay him well. And by the way, if you didn't give him any birthday gift, you need to give him a birthday gift for last week. We call it a Pentecostal handshake, better known as a $100 bill. So, worship is important. We need to break fallow ground. But I've come to realize we almost got it backwards. And I learned this from being a Catholic. Now, I'm going to be a theologically doctrinal here. Because in the Old Testament, any Catholics or former Catholics here today? Okay, now you're going to know what I'm talking about. But in the Catholic Church, whenever the priest would walk in from the back of the church, everybody would rise. In the Old Testament, when the priest was headed to the Holy of Holies, all of Israel would rise. And they'd begin to praise God and begin to sing. It's the same way with the Catholic Church. We would all rise up, and we had song books. We'd sing those, you know, we'd have them song books, and that priest would walk through there. The Catholic Church that I was raised in was Our Lady Queen of Heaven Catholic Church, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Some of y'all, ex-members are here. I escaped, you know, across the Sabine. And I was a member of a utmost state-of-the-art Catholic church. Oh, yeah. We built a church back in the 60s, Brother Clint, that was state-of-the-art. What do you mean state-of-the-art? Well, we built one that didn't look like a Catholic church. It didn't have stained glass windows. It didn't have a steeple. In fact, they built the church like I've always said we need to build our churches, Pentecostal churches. They had glass walls. Yeah. That's why I think we ought to build them. Look here. Ain't nobody can hear us. Nobody can see us. Tempted to run out of here in that parking lot with this cordless mic. But it used to be our greatest. Expand the vision. Woo, that'll preach. But us having church used to attract them to where we were meeting in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. They'd run up behind the bushes, you know, and hide. They went down there to see the show. And I got testimonies all across America of people that went behind the bushes just to see the show, and they became the show. Because you can't contain the Holy Ghost. You can't put it in a little box. And that'll preach. Hey, we need some churches to get out of the box. Get out of the box. Get out of routine. Get out of being compromised. Get out of lethargy. Start praising God. Put a loudspeaker out there. Let this whole community hear you having church right here at Dominion Church. I promise you, curiosity will kill the devil. Let's go check. Honey, let's go check it out. They're having too much fun in that place. And they'll show up. And while they're sitting down, the prayer team who's been praying for their soul, the prayer team who walked up to their houses and knocked on the door and said, hey, you're welcome to come to Dominion Church. We have Holy Ghost parties. We have a Holy Ghost. Why don't you come and visit us? And when they walk in, was it Charles Finney said, you get on fire and you invite somebody to come to church with you, and while they're sitting next to you and looking at you on fire, the Holy Ghost leads them to the cross of Calvary. Do you see the mixture there? Do you see that? You see what the quotation is? You see what's happening there? It is the fact that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, because without the Holy Ghost, they're not going to see Jesus. So we got to keep praising God. Let me get back to my Catholic church for a minute. We had an organ. Oh, Sister Wade Dean. Woo! You'd be like a little boy at McDonald's with a McNugget box. We had one of those big pipe organs. It was as big as this platform. Remember, we're the ultimate Catholic church. That priest would walk in there, and we'd start singing. And she'd start playing that organ like this. Da, 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 oh, 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 mm, Pretty good, huh? We're on a tight budget, you know. I'm an Assembly of God evangelist. Can't carry an organ everywhere you go, so you got to improvise, they say. Do you know what, Dominion? There was many times, I remember this, I'd get them doodads. I'd get those doodads on my, I'd start feeling something. It was God. It's God. That's the Holy Ghost trying to get a hold of my life. Yes. They'd walk down the aisle. Now listen to me now. They'd walk down the aisle and they'd get down at the front. Now remember, the second one was overemphasis on praise instead of prayer. Both of them will give you a relationship with Jesus. Huh? Because praise is a relationship. You praise God because of what He's done in your life. You praise God because of what He's going to do in your life. You praise God because you're blessed. Now, I go to a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches I go to, I feel like that Oscar Mayer Wiener got caught in the steakhouse, you know. I just don't fit there. But then God always reminds me, Brother Greg, that's why I got you there. And so, it's very important to praise God because praise is a relationship, see. I praise Sister Vincent all the time. I buy her cards and flowers, and I cut her flowers. I got a rose bush. I love rose bushes. I cut her flowers all the time. I put her in a little vase when she gets home from work and sit right there. You know. I just gave you marriage 101. I buy her cards. I send her flowers. And when I'm home, I always make her coffee. I always give her coffee in bed. We got a relationship. I didn't pull your chain, okay? Just hold on just a minute. In a minute, I'm fixing to. But it's a relationship, see? We get chummy every once in a while. Well, that's what praise is. Worship. And prayer is a relationship. You want to find out about Jesus, get one-on-one at a prayer meeting. Altar. So the priest gets up here, and he would every once in a while, now you Catholics remember, he'd have that little, I call it the little portable, a water sprinkler. I'm doing this pretty good. Well, that was parallel to Aaron's labor, water baptism. And then he'd walk up on the platform, and over here on the right-hand side would be a little box. Yeah. And ever so often, around the box, there would be different colored curtains around it. Y'all remember that? Now, I don't know the theology behind all that. There is some theology behind it. I know there is. I think blue means heaven, and purple means the king, and white means purity, and so forth. And around that box, see, inside the box was the communion emblems. Remember that? Go with me. Get your Bibles out. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 real quickly. Hebrews chapter 9.